Midday Show, Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, as we are 4 hours away from Game 3 up at Citi Field. We'll get to Aaron Nola in a second here, what we expect tonight, but we have ourselves a lineup, Hugh Douglas. The lineup for the Phillies is out. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right, we got our answer here, because yesterday Topper said Bohm would be in. More non-committal on Stott and Marsh. So we have our answer. Neither are starting tonight. It's the lineup to face a lefty. Leading off the DH, your guy Schwarble, Hugh Douglas.
Schwarble.
He's batting first as usual. Turner batting second, playing short. Harper at third, first, batting third. Castellanos in the cleanup spot in right field. Alec Bohm batting fifth at third base, batting sixth. Catcher JT Realmuto. And here's your 7-8-9 tonight. Austin Hayes in left field, batting seventh. Edmundo Sosa playing second, batting eighth, and batting ninth, the center fielder, Johan Rojas. So it is Schwarber, Turner, Harper, Castellanos, Bohm, Realmuto, Hayes, Sosa, Rojas. By my count, that is seven righties. The two lefties, of course, are Schwarber and Harper. But he's putting his lineup in to go against a lefty with seven right-handed hitters. What do you think?
So who's you say Stott's not in?
Stott and Marsh sit.
Okay.
And
yeah,
Sosa and
okay,
and
all
Hayes.
Hands on deck. Let's go.
Let's go. This is what I anticipated. I thought Sosa was going to play. I mean, he has good numbers against Manaea. He hits lefties. They've been doing this for the past 2 months where it's really been a platoon at second base between Sosa and Stott. I think this is the way we're going to see it against lefties, and I won't be surprised middle of the game when Manaea is out, fifth, sixth inning. You put Marsh back in the game, and you put Stott back in the game, and away you go. So there's the Phillies lineup for tonight. Of course, on the mound tonight, Aaron Nola, he spoke yesterday about getting the ball for game number three.
Aaron, what was your reaction when Rob told you, hey, you're going to go game three? And, you know, were you surprised at all by that? And, like, kind of maybe do you relish getting the ball here on the road, you know, in front of a pretty hostile fan base?
Yeah, I was fine with it. Yeah, I mean, was super happy for Sanchi to be able to pitch at home. I mean, it's incredible to pitch at home, obviously, and you know his first start in postseason, which was awesome. I thought he threw the ball really good. But yeah, I mean, whatever I can do to try to contribute and try to put the team in the best chance to win in a playoff game, whether it's home or road, I was fine with. This is a pretty cool place to play, pretty cool place to pitch. I pitched here quite a few times and first time in the postseason. So definitely looking forward to it.
I often wonder if Aaron Nola has any pulse. It's just the same thing all the time, which I like because I think it helps him in the postseason. So
even keel.
He's so even keel. Aaron Nola, this is his third straight year pitching this game. Game three of the NLDS 2 years ago, six innings, one run allowed. Last year's 5 2/3, two runs allowed. Let me give you some numbers against the Mets, and then we'll have a discussion here. I could just sense both of you guys. Don't really trust Nola 100% tonight. I could feel it. I felt it all day with you guys. Nola against some of the Mets in their lineup in his career. He has done really well against Lindor, held him to a .212 average. He's shut down Winker. He's shut down J.D. Martinez. He has been hit by Starling Marte, .355. Nimmo has got him decent, .250 with a couple home runs. Tyrone Taylor will probably be in left field tonight. Has hit him pretty well in 10 at-bats. Iglesias has hit him well. Bader hasn't. Vientos only faced him three times. I mean, some of the younger Mets have barely seen him. But Lindor, he's done well against. That's obviously a big factor. The one, though, is Alonso. That's the one we have to watch for tonight. Let's hear from Nola about Alonso, who has hit five home runs off of him over the years.
Yeah, it's a challenge. I've thrown some balls over the plate he hadn't really missed. Hit him for home runs. You know, not just Pete. I feel like the whole team is going to be, you know, obviously trying to get hits and scrap hits, just like I'm trying to get him out. So, yeah, they're all going to be competitive, and I'm going to be as competitive too.
Do you trust Aaron Nola tonight? That's it.
I do. I got no choice. I got to trust him. No,
when you say I got no choice.
You definitely have a choice, Hugh.
I don't have a choice.
He has to get it done.
He has to get it done tonight.
But do you feel good about it?
Yes, I do. I feel good about it.
Do you feel good about him shutting the Mets down?
No, I probably ain't going to do that.
Well, you don't feel
good. Probably ain't going to do that. I mean, it's like you even said, he's probably going to give up two runs.
That's good.
Okay, that's fine then. I mean, you know, I think we're going to need about six, seven runs to win the game, though. But, yeah, I'm okay with that.
So, all right, well, then you don't trust the bullpen. If Nola's given up two runs and you think we need six.
It's more that I'm looking at the way they've been playing lately. They've been pretty hot, man. I mean, let's not act like the Mets have not been, like they feel like they've been dipped in the blood or whatever, and they're just really resilient. They're a really resilient team. That's all I'm saying.
I get it. But I feel like they're doing their damage off of relief pitchers more than starting pitchers. They didn't do much against Christopher Sanchez. They didn't touch Zach Wheeler. You go back to the Brewers series, they scored 4 in the 9th inning, right, to win game 3. They didn't score for the first 8 innings. The game before that, the Mets scored 3 total runs, and they came in the first few innings. And then the game before that, they scored 8. So they did jump on the Brewers in game 1 of that series. I just feel like Bohm's going to, excuse me, not Bohm, that Nola's going to pitch well tonight. I feel it.
Yeah, I hope he does.
He might. Like, he probably will. Like, it's less about Aaron Nola for me. No, Hugh, like, this is, I'm trying to, like, sum this up with an example. I trusted Matt Strom on Sunday. Trusted him before he threw that pitch. I trusted him immediately after he threw that pitch to Vientos. It didn't matter. The Mets are getting their best swings off.
They are.
I'm just saying.
So like, you're saying no one but Nola could shut him down. No one but Wheeler.
Maybe. Like, Zach Wheeler is that good. Would we not all agree?
Yes.
The Mets have won some of the hottest bats in baseball right now. And we can talk about the Braves offense last year all they want, but what we know about that Braves team is they cool off. The Mets are at the hottest their bats have been all season right now.
It feels like they're where you want your team to be when you're hidden. That's what you want them to be.
I agree. They're hot right now. I also think Aaron Nola is very capable of shutting them down for 6 innings tonight. It's a different every day is a different day.
I feel like this game you're gonna be able to tell how this game goes from almost immediately. I feel like that's gonna be the case because they're getting back home, and I just had this eerie feeling that they felt like more than anything, Joe, like they ran out of time.
They probably did.
They feel like they ran out of time.
Well, I think they're running out of time in their season because we're 2 wins from knocking them out.
And I'm with you on that, but I just feel like you have to snatch that hope like immediately because they're going home and they feel like, hey, the only reason they won that game is because we didn't have any more at-bats. So I think you have to jump on them early like a bunch of little crickets.
That would be wonderful. I mean, I'd love to have some runs early. I also recognize Minaya has pitched well. I think the beginning of this game could be lower scoring, and then we get the runs as we move along. Joe in the Northeast is up. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Joe, how you feeling today? You ready?
Well, a little nervous, but, you don't want this game, you don't want this series to come back to game 5. You know, we saw what happened last year with 6 and 7 when we have Nola and Suarez. You want to end it up there with us winning, not the Mets winning. But, you know, in reference thing about Bohm, okay, I have a memory like an elephant. And, you know, I remember him, what he said about this place, you know. So I remember that. But he's a good ball player. But he could be a better hitter. You know, all that swinging at the first pitch, that's not just something that happened in the last game. He's been doing that for months and sometimes successful. But and Castellanos is another first pitch swinging. And if you're going to do that a lot, then hit the ball hard somewhere. Otherwise, if you don't hit the ball hard, then it wasn't your pitch to swing at. It's the pitcher's pitch. And they make their pitches, they're going to get you out, you know, 7 out of 10 times, you know. But he can be a better hitter. And if he's still on the team next year, Him and Harper, you know, both of them are tied in the 9 spot in all Major League Baseball for hitting in the double plays, 18 double plays. Machado has 25. He leads the Major Leagues. So that's something you needed to address next year. Like maybe put behind Turner, having Turner run more, and then, you know, everybody with the Schwarber leading off. If you get somebody that has a good on-base percentage, maybe you have a different leadoff hitter and drop Kyle down. He's still going to get his home runs. He's still going to get his walks. But maybe you stay out of some double plays by running those guys. And that's what they need to do today. I was out there at that Mets, the last Mets series, and their third baseman, Vientos, when Trey comes up, his heels are on the grass of the outfield. That's how deep he plays him. So Trey, drop a bunt down.
I like that idea, Joe.
First at bat, and get his speed on, because the announcers have said about this Manoah that they were comparing him to Sanchez in reference to holding runners. He's had 23 stolen bases on him compared to 14 for Sanchez. So maybe he doesn't hold runners well.
You
so
can run on, and you can run on the Mets. During the season, Joe, the Phillies stole 17 out of 20 against them, and then obviously they ran a lot in game two. You can run on this Mets team.
Yeah, but you can't steal first base.
Well, of course.
So, you know, you got to get on, you know. And then tomorrow's game, this might sound – see, I think Topper made a mistake in game one by not putting in Alvarado in the spot that he gave Banks. He brought Banks in for an inning, and he gave up a run that put us down 6-1. Why didn't you give Jose an opportunity to get right, see? Because what I would do, if we can win today's game, and there's supposed to be this thing about, you know, you can't see well that early in the game.
You want to start
I would start Alvarado as the opener tomorrow. Right, followed by Kirkren. I want to get two or three innings out of those two guys, hopefully with no runs. Then I bring in Ranger.
You know, Joe, that's an interesting idea. Now, good call. I think Joe might have hit something interesting there. What if tomorrow the Phillies try to go with like a crazy kind of bullpen game to throw the Mets off, the way the Mets did to the Phillies in Game One? Instead of starting Suarez, you go with bullpen guys, and then you go to Suarez after that. It's kind of a bulk reliever. I think manager Joe from the Northeast just hit something there. That could be, they could get really creative tomorrow. Now, if they're down 2-1, we may not love the creativity, but if they're up 2-1, they might be able to steal game four by doing something like that. 215-592-9494. Your phone calls coming up on all things game three. Do you trust Nola? Who's in the driver's seat in this series? And I believe Alec Boehm is playing for a starting spot tonight. I know a lot of people do not agree. We'll hit that. Your phone calls next. And kiss the baby as we all will go around the room and eliminate another team for playoff contention in the NFL. It's all up next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Y'all know how much I love Hatfield Bacon for Breakfast. Man, I can eat bacon all day. And now Hatfield has made it even easier to enjoy a delicious breakfast with their new breakfast line. They have breakfast ham slices, they got pork roll, juicy breakfast sausage links, and they have Canadian bacon. And soon in your grocery store's frozen section, Hatfield's frozen sausage patties and links, perfect for those busy mornings. Head to simplyhatfield.com to find a retailer that's near you. Find your
I mean, I thought both teams, man, punch for punch. I said it to the guys. I said Rocky would be proud. You know, never die mentality, man. Just a great game. Thought Sevy threw the ball really well, obviously. But, you know, to kind of get a couple runs on and just keep that going. Vientos swung the bat well. But, you know, punch for punch, man. Came back, won that game. Big at bat by Starter. Happy birthday to him. And then, obviously, Cassidy coming through. Just huge.
Did he say happy birthday to Rocky? Is that what he said?
I don't know when Rocky's birthday is off the top of my head.
It was Stott's birthday, though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying. I was trying to be funny.
Were you trying to pick a fight with Rocky?
No, I'm just saying. It was just.
You're not going to win that fight.
Rocky would kick
your
ass.
No, I'm just saying. Would, yeah. Rocky about 80 now. I like my chances.
Dude, you're not a spring chicken either.
Yeah, but I got this mean right hook that I still think I can throw.
And Rocky doesn't. Have you seen Rocky box?
Heavyweight.
Dude, he took down Drago.
Apollo was the best in the world.
Yeah, he did.
He went the distance with Apollo, and then he took him down in Rocky II.
Yeah, I'm just saying, the Panda in Chief, that was just a little
bit. Bro, he beat up Mr. T, you.
Yeah, look here, woman. That was one of the greatest lines. Come here, woman. Look here, woman.
Clubber Lang is an all-time character. He's such a good villain. All right, 215-592-9494. We have the lineup, Sosa in and Hayes. And I'm feeling Austin Hayes is going to have a moment. I know a lot of people are down on Austin Hayes, and he obviously didn't do much after the trade because the injuries and they got ill.
And he had a tummy ache, didn't he?
Worse than that, I think he had E. coli. I mean, he was in bad shape, apparently, with his kidneys.
How did he get E. coli, though?
He ate some bad meat, I believe.
It had E. coli on it. That's nice.
I guess. I mean,
if something like that happened to me, I would probably not eat out anymore. Like, I'm assuming that was something that, you know, he got from a restaurant.
I'm guessing, yeah. I mean, he's a professional athlete. He's probably not at home cooking often the way I am.
If he is, he better put some more heat on that food.
I think so. All right, Hayes in the lineup tonight, as is Sosa. And don't forget here, WIP's Unfinished Business playoff coverage presented by Delaware Valley Honda. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll dive into Kiss the Baby as we enter week six of the NFL season.
Hey.
Mike and Del Ran is up talking Alec Boehm. Hey, Mike.
Yo, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, Mike. What's up?
Hey, I got three things real quick if I can. The first is nobody owes Castellanos any apologies. I'm with you. There's only three athletes in my lifetime, at least, that was unbooable. It's Allen Iverson, Brian Dawkins, and, of course, Hugh Douglas. Right? Those are the only three.
Oh, appreciate it. Appreciate
well, we can boo you
well,
now.
I get booed every day at work now.
Oh, man. And then second thing is I really think the Phillies are in the driver's seat tonight. Basically wire to wire, not just the best team in the NL East, not just the best team in the National League, it's the best team in baseball. So, the Mets have been riding this wave, this magic, but I feel like that carpet got pulled out from under them the other night. I'm really curious to see how they respond. They were sitting there thinking they were going back home up 2-0. And they thought they had this wrapped up. So that spark, that fire that they've been riding, that might have ended the other night. So I think the Phillies are in the driver's seat tonight. And then last thing with Boehm, he's the only Phillies jersey I own. When he said he hated the seventh place and then it just manned up to it, ultimate respect. But, dude, grow up. Like, I see kids sulk less at my little kids, you know, six-year-old baseball games. Like, you know, you're going to strike out. You're going to have rough stretches. You keep your head up. You maybe give it a little shake. Look at the replay board. See what you did wrong, and just move on to the next play.
Adapt and grow.
Yeah, just grow up, dude. You're 28 years old. This city will love you if you stop acting like a baby. Grow up. Go, Phil.
Well said, Mike. We appreciate it. I always think about there's no crying in baseball. That line when I think of Alec Boehm. When things go bad. He looks too emotional. Kyle said something earlier that might just be true. He might not be built for October baseball. Doesn't mean he's a bad player. Obviously, he's had a nice career so far.
He better get over that.
Or we got to get over him and put Clemens or Sosa in. I'm not married to any of these guys.
I feel like they believe in him still, though. I believe that's why he's still out there. I believe that's why Topper has made it his business not to let him go too much into a slump or a funk and get him back out there.
But he did bench him already. We already pulled the lever.
He did. But it was not. It wasn't a long-term benching.
No, well, I already put him back. He put him right back in.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It wasn't a long term. It was just probably, you know, hey, take your time, calm down. You know, you're still my guy. That type of thing.
Why are we okay with Stott being a platoon guy, but Boehm we're protective of?
Because I think that the All-Star thing has something to do with that.
Who cares who makes the All-Star team? I mean, seriously, every team gets a representative.
All it means is
you've had one good half. Well,
Stott's like one of the best fielding infielders in baseball.
Right, and they take him off out of the game.
Well, no, for sure. I'm saying, like, if you're wondering why people give, feels like we give Stott a little bit more slack than Boehm, and like Boehm hits in a more important spot in the lineup.
Well, yeah, I meant we are okay. Like, no one's upset. Stott's not playing tonight. He's young. He's part of the future.
Yeah, yeah.
Like to me, it's Stott is. We're sitting him tonight because we think Sosa's the better matchup against the lefty.
Well, so I think with Stott, like we know going in that he's sort of like. That's what his splits are like at the plate. Like, Alec Boehm's supposed to be able to hit everybody.
So I now know what it is. We're still dreaming on Boehm. We accept what Stott is.
But, like, Boehm is playing below what his expectations are by the fan base, whereas Stott, I think, is sort of, I wouldn't say reaching them, because I think we all think he can be a lot better, but I think people are just more accepting of the reality
of Stott right now. I think you might be onto that. Yeah, there's something about Boehm. He was the third pick in the draft. He's had big moments. He's had, like Hugh said, he made an all-star team. Like, there's a sense that maybe he has another level, but we'll worry about that next year. I need the best players in the field to win the World Series now, and tonight they think that's Alec Boehm. All right, let's see him hit. Let's talk to Ken in Newtown. What's up, Ken?
Ken.
Hey.
Ken.
Hugh, I was in Cherry Hill. I saw your Ferrari at a wedding.
That was a long time ago.
What year are we talking about?
Yeah, I drive a pickup truck now. Them days is gone.
Yep. Anyway,
big ass in and out of
my dad
ass car.
Says Kyle reminds me of myself. I'm like angry all the time.
Is that right, Kyle? Are you angry all the time?
No, never actually.
he goes, he lets loose, you know. And I was like, all right, I'm 42 years old. Anyway, I'm a Division I wrestler from West Virginia. Anyway, 80 sacks. Why not the Hall of Fame?
80 is a little below Hall of Fame standard.
Yeah, if I'd have had like 20 more, then maybe we'd have been in more of a conversation.
100 feels like that number.
Yeah, 100, yeah.
What is wrong with him?
Yeah, it's a little bit more.
Philly.
But I'm okay with the 80. I did what I was supposed to do.
Well, you had 80. We started taking some away.
Yeah, it used to be 80. Yeah.
All right, 8-2 Phillies tonight.
Okay.
Guaranteed.
That
sounds like something.
And also, JT Real Muto is going to hit a bomb.
Oh, I like that. He started, all right, Ken. Started early. Ken, we appreciate the call.
Ken started a little early.
I like just asking you, why aren't you in the Hall of Fame? Just
I mean, I don't know why, because nobody voted for me. Maybe somebody vote for me.
And we're taking his sacks
away. At least get me on the ballot.
It's going to be tough to get in with the amount of sacks we're
were
taking.
Were you on the ballot?
I don't think I've ever been on the ballot.
Well, we got to get Hugh on the ballot.
I at least got to get him on the ballot.
You got to get him at least on the ballot.
I think the days are passed.
Yeah, I think
you think he's forgotten?
I missed that cut.
He's not a forgotten Eagle, but is Hugh a forgotten NFL player?
Yeah, I think I am. They must have forgotten.
I'm trying to remember how it works. So we know they cut the list down, right? It goes from a big list to like 15, right? And then they debate on who the top on the five they're going to put
in. I got
to
get on the old ass people list.
Oh, what do they call it? The Golden Committee or something?
Yeah, I got to get on the go. I got a couple more years to go before I get on the old ass people list.
I wonder when. I'm sure at some point, because were you in the league for 10 years?
Yes.
If you're in the league for 10 years, like they present you on like the big list. You didn't make it to the smaller list, like the cut.
Is that right?
But I'm guessing at some point they at least threw your name in there. Like when that big list comes out.
My name was on the big list.
You didn't make the smallest.
I didn't make the old ass people list. Yeah. I'm gonna probably be on the old ass people list.
The veterans list. Let's talk to Mel and Ambler. What's up, Mel?
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up, Mel? What are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about Nola in this lineup. I got my blood pressure medicine ready.
Oh.
And I think what they need to do, they're gonna have to get a minimum of 6 runs by the fifth inning, because you know that Nola's going to give up that home run.
I don't know that, Mel. Maybe he won't tonight. Nola's had plenty of good starts in the playoffs. I don't know he's given up a home run.
Oh, trust me, he's going to give up a home run. He hasn't failed me yet.
And Mel says so.
Well, he has given up a lot of home runs this season, Mel, if we're being fair. This has been a year where he's given up, I think, what's it, 29 or 30 home runs. So you might be right. But, Mel, I think he's going to pitch well.
I don't doubt that. He'll pitch well through the first 5 innings. After that, that's when the home run's going to come. That's why I say he's going to need a minimum of 5 to 6 runs by the time he does that.
Boy, you and Hugh, you both think we need a lot of runs to win this baseball game tonight.
I mean, I just think we do. I mean, that's just, you know, might be common sense that we need a minute.
I don't know. We have a good pitcher on the mound.
We got a good pitcher, but, you know, the Mets have been pretty hot, man.
This scared.
It's not being scared.
I feel it. Mel, it's true. Mel, we appreciate it.
Hey, Hugh, this is a safe space.
I like, you know what makes me more nervous? The fact that Kyle's talking to me like that makes me a little nervous.
Hugh, buddy.
Hey, because that's not what you do. That's not what you do.
Hey, bud.
Well, I mean, I think Kyle's trying to calm himself down because he's really scared. I mean, you could feel that.
Yeah, that's a little awkward for me. That's a little awkward for Kyle to do that.
Okay, Hugh.
Hey, bud, you need a soda? You need something?
Usually you do have a soda during the show.
You need a cookie? Yeah.
Do you need a soda?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay.
I'm about to go to Hugh Hope's later on this evening and hang out with the peeps.
I hope they have a big sign up when you get there, the Hugh Hope's watch party.
I need those Dollar Miller lights.
I know that.
Those lights sound kind of clutch.
That might have been the thing that caught most people's attention.
You know what the bad part about that is?
What's that? There's no
work tomorrow?
Yeah. Kyle know I'm
going
there.
Well, hold on. You guys are not thinking about this the right way.
What's that?
If this was an 8 o'clock start with Dollar Miller lights, then Tuesday's or Wednesday's a tough go at work. The game starts at 5.
Yeah.
You're in bed by 8:30, 9 o'clock.
That's more time to drink, Joe.
Yeah. No. You got to cut it off when the game
starts. You might be looking at this the wrong way.
Hugh Hopes would have been better on a Friday. We're going to make it work on Tuesday, though. But it would have been better for me on a Friday.
Yeah, it's not about me. No, it's about the people.
It's not about me.
We got to make sure we know it's about the people, not just about you. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get to Kiss the Baby as we eliminate another team just in a second here. First, Johnny, who's on his way up to Citi Field, New York. What's up, Johnny?
Johnny?
Johnny going once? Maybe Johnny's in a tunnel somewhere, in a rough patch on the turnpike.
You know, but speaking of tunnel, it costs like $20 to get into the city now in New York.
Yeah.
Oh, they ain't never going to see me in New York. They ain't going to never see me. For real.
Just swim across the Hudson.
Man, I'm not doing that. It's like to go across the bridge. I mean, to go in under the tunnel, Holland Tunnel, whatever them tunnels, Lincoln, whatever.
Both of them.
Oh, my goodness.
You can go over the George Washington Bridge.
Verrazano
Bridge. There's a lot of ways to get in.
Yeah, but no, I'm not giving them no money.
No?
No.
What if you have to go to New York?
Then I'm not going. I catch the train.
You think the train is cheap?
Well, the train is not cheap, but it's like just the simple fact that going over there paying that toll, $20.
No,
that hurt.
It's robbery, yeah.
That just don't feel right to
me. It's a lot. Well, if you're going, like,
you gotta go. Yeah.
Well, then I guess we have to do. You have to go. You gotta go, and you gotta get a win if you're going as well. All right, 215-592-9494. Can we let's play Kiss the Baby here, and then we gotta get to something really interesting that a Phillies beat writer uncovered, or maybe thinks he's uncovered, or kind of has heard, because it does play into the bullpen concern. But let's get to Kiss the Baby first for week 6 in the NFL.
It's time to kiss the baby.
Ah, oh, there it is.
So baby sound like it pooted at the end of that thing.
I was just going to say, that's the first I've noticed.
That's the first
I've
heard. It sounded like that baby let one go.
I think he did, yeah. So every week we eliminate another team across the NFL. And the idea of this is to try to have a perfect playoff bracket by the end where only the playoff teams are alive, and we've eliminated every team that doesn't make the playoffs. Hugh, you get to go first this week. So who have you eliminated so far?
So far I've eliminated the Dolphins, the Raiders, the Bears, the Giants.
So who you got this week?
And you know what's funny? Can I just say this real quick? Mm-hmm. I've been kind of money on the teams that I've kind of got rid of.
Pretty
the last
good.
Couple weeks.
Bears are 3-2, though.
Bears are 3-2?
Mm-hmm.
Don't care. don't care.
I think that they'll probably miss the playoffs, but go ahead.
You know what? You just made me think of something. I'm going to go with my original thought. Okay. I'll say that one for next week. I'm going to go with the L.A. Rams. I think the L.A. Rams are going to be a team that's going to be done.
They're 1-4. Yeah, they're a bad spot. Yeah. All right, that's a good one. All right, Kyle, you're up next. Who have you eliminated so far?
Do we have to talk about that?
Yeah, we do. We need to remind everyone.
He eliminated a playoff team.
I eliminated the Vikings in week one.
Undefeated.
The lone undefeated team in the NFC.
Okay.
Just so that we're up to date. I did also add the Titans, Browns, and the Jags.
Okay.
All right, this week... I still need to get back to like the chalk. I need the easier ones now that the Vikings are going to hurt me, it seems. So I'm going to go with the Panthers, who ended up going back to Bryce Young at
that
some
was
point
crazy.
In that game.
Yeah,
and Dave Canales admitted that they only did that so that Andy Dalton wouldn't get banged up in a meaningless
They're protecting
game.
Andy Dalton and putting their former number one pick at harm? Oh, my God. That team is a disaster. That season's over.
Yeah, the Panthers are done.
Okay, that's a good one. All right, so far I've eliminated the Panthers, the Giants, the Jaguars, and the Dolphins. This week, I'm going to eliminate the New England Patriots. That team is dreadful. They lost at home to the Miami Dolphins. They've lost 4 in a row since they won their opener. They can't move the football. They're terrible. And they're probably going to go to rookie quarterback soon. I'm going to take the Patriots out of the mix for the season. So Panthers, Giants, Jags, Dolphins, Patriots.
What's the rookie quarterback's name?
Drake May.
Drake May.
He might be coming in.
Yeah, it might be his turn soon. I considered the Browns before they came here to play their game.
not so fast, Joe.
I'm going to wait on that.
You got a winnable game going.
Don't even put it in the atmosphere. They're 9-point underdogs.
I'm just saying, I'm going to put this into the atmosphere because I very much believe this. If they make a switch at quarterback, Jameis Winston is going to tear this defense apart.
Well, if that happens, Sirianni's getting solid next week, all right? That's the next thing.
So that's what we're calling it now, solid.
Can we get solid as our defensive coordinator?
No, he's getting solid.
I understand that. I'm asking a tangential question.
Oh, can we have Robert Saleh?
Can we also just get Robert Saleh for our defense?
Maybe. That might be in the cards down the line. All right, 215-592-9494. Kiss the baby as we enter week 6 in the NFL. All right, let's grab Johnny. I think he's back now. And then we got to play a son from Matt Gelb of The Athletic on his podcast about the Phillies and maybe what went on with the bullpen issues this weekend. Johnny is up on WIP. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, guys. You can hear me now, right?
Gotcha, Johnny. What's up, pal?
Nothing, room. Just got to 30th Street Station. We're taking a kind of early train in here with my mom.
So
and we're
train
just
going to
adventure
better.
Them. Yeah, much better, especially now. Drove in, no traffic, and then, we don't have to worry about it. Yeah, that stuff. We were also at the game on Sunday, too. It's just been crazy time.
So what jersey are you wearing? What jersey are you and your mom wearing?
I got a Harper one, and she's got her Hamill. Oh, no, she's got her Harper one on. I thought she had her Hamill's one on. She's a longtime Philly fan. She was actually at the World Series Game 5, right? She was at Game 5 back then. So she's a longtime Phillies fan.
All right, well, you got to bring us some luck, Johnny. I mean, if you were at game 2, then this could be a big thing. I mean, I'm going to need you at all the playoff wins if this continues today. I don't know what your schedule's like, but clear it out because we need to get 10 more wins here, all right?
Yeah, I can't do anything on the weekends, but my mom, I think she's got tickets for game 5. Hopefully, we only need 3 and 4 to
and you know we don't need to go that far. But yeah, she's we got it on lockdown. Yeah, Sunday was incredible. Like everybody's been saying, there was every single emotion I think you could have experienced in one game, which is I didn't know. Like my favorite thing was when Bryce hit the home run. It was already crazy. It was crazy. The whole stadium woke up. Then Cassie hit it, and it reached another level that I didn't even think was possible. It was just still – I'm still not even down from there. It was just incredible, incredible.
Yeah, I mean, the stadium, just on – I was there Saturday, but Sunday watching on TV, just the reaction to those home runs. It was like it woke everybody up. Johnny, man, good phone call, and have a good train ride up to New York and go get a win here. All right, so we have some audio here to play for you. So Matt Gelb of The Athletic, his podcast is called Phillies Therapy, and – Matt covers a team for the Athletic, and he was talking about the bullpen and potentially what could have been the issue this weekend. Maybe the Mets had a tell and knew it was coming from the relief arms. Here it is.
I think the Phillies are going to take Monday, and I think they're going to just double-check a lot of things. And they're going to make sure that they're not too predictable with some of their reliever sequencing. Maybe they can just button things up, because I do think there's a little bit of paranoia. And it's funny because Rob Thompson, I've talked to him about this over the last few years, numerous times, like he might be the most paranoid man at baseball. And I think that's been forged over all those years and years and years of Yankees Red Sox games that Rob was involved in, as the third base coach or bench coach. And one of his tasks was to, essentially try to find different tells from the opposing pitchers, usually Red Sox pitchers. Okay. And like he just has become obsessed and is really paranoid about this stuff. And I would say that, I mean, I think that there's reason to believe maybe the Mets have something on some of these guys, but it's got to be better.
So that was interesting, Hugh.
Talking about the tell.
The tell. What? It makes me actually feel better. Because if the Mets had a tell on Hoffman and Strom, specifically Hoffman, it makes me feel like he's not declining. He's not tired. He's not pitching well.
They just figured out something.
They knew it was coming based on maybe he was tipping it. Whereas this happens sometimes. Like a pitcher will like turn his glove a certain way if it's a curveball or not, and they don't even realize it. If the Mets picked up on it, and that's why they hit him, well, the Phillies should be able to watch their own film and see it and change it, and then the Mets won't be able to hit him as much.
Yeah, but how soon can you change that, though?
Because I think you can do it fast.
But if it's one of those things that's like a habit. Habits, it takes 21 days to break a habit, Joe.
I think it could be quicker with a tell like
21
this.
21 days.
But if
isn't
you,
that, that's like an average, though.
Yeah.
Like,
no, but I'm saying when you're locked into something and you don't know you're doing it, it takes a while.
Well, that's 21 because some people take 5 and some people take 50.
That's true. Also, this isn't like quitting smoking. We're just trying
that's
to,
how averages work, you.
We're trying to just get him to not hold his glove a certain way. This isn't like quitting smoking. This is easier.
This is what happened to Lance McCullers in the World Series versus the Phillies.
We had their tell.
Yeah. He was tipping pitches, and we destroyed
remember
him.
Remember that one? And then the Phillies lied. They said they were just like talking normal stuff, but like Bowman and Harper whispering to each other.
Yeah. Well, like tipping pitches is a pretty – it's not like you don't see it all the time, but it's a common thing. In the majors, like they're really good at figuring out, especially if you got a guy on second base who's seeing the pitcher from the opposite side. Like some teams have better scouting on that kind of thing than others, like how to find out if a pitcher's tipping pitches. But that's usually something that teams look at and are able to fix for the next start.
Especially rivals, because they see each other so much. It brings me back to something I wondered yesterday. I wondered yesterday if they didn't hit Estevez as much because they haven't seen Estevez as much. The Mets have seen Hoffman and Strom a lot the last couple years, and they just played, what, didn't they play 7 times in September, the Mets and Phillies? So they've played each other now 9 times in the past, like, 3 weeks. There might be something to this. It's better the Phillies know now before that this thing is too late. Maybe they could switch it. Hopefully Hugh's not right. It doesn't take 21 days to fix this.
Yeah, it usually takes 21 days to break a habit.
I think those are,
on average.
Those are different habits.
On average, yeah.
That's
a habit in general, just a habit. Period.
I know, but don't you think it's a little bit different, like a tendency and a habit, like smoking?
Nope, Hughes dug in.
I'm dug in on this one. Yeah, you're right.
All right, we're screwed. 215-592-9494. That's off the board. 2 o'clock, Spike and Ike and Jack. We'll be with you live from New York. We'll play a Conklin special for our starter tonight. And how about a Game 3 same game parlay? We'll do that as well. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.